Who can tell me what time of year it is? What time of year is it? Richard? No, it's not autumn yet. We're still in summer. We haven't had the equinox yet. And it's only when you get to the equinox that is when summer ends and autumn begins. So winter doesn't begin until the 21st of December. But autumn doesn't. No, winter doesn't begin until the 21st of December. And so summer ends at the equinox, which is coming up in a few days. Next week. But that's not the answer, that's the season. What time of year is it? What time of year is it? Let me give you a clue. What time of year is it? Helen. Harvest! Now you can tell most of you don't live on farms, mind you. There's someone here that lives on a farm that just gave us the wrong answer. It's harvest. Now who can tell me what happens at the harvest? Come on, Richard, have another go. You bring all the crops in. All the crops that have been growing through the year, they stick up through the ground. Now, we should. Anybody that listens to the news, anybody that's ever listened to Norman Lamont should all know about this. The green shoots come up through the ground. But instead of them withering and dying, they carry on and they grow and they grow and they grow until it gets to the time when it's ready to harvest them so that we can then eat them. Don't pull that wiring, please, or you'll find you're electrocuted. We don't want you to get frazzled. That wouldn't be nice. Well, some people think so, but I don't. The time when we bring in all the food we're going to eat through the rest of the year. And a lot of this food here has been grown in people's gardens or in some cases on people's farms. And it's grown during the year and now it's been harvested and it's all ready to eat. Some of what was harvested earlier this last week is sitting in ovens and in saucepans at home, waiting to be cooked and eaten by you when you get home. All these things happen because of God's goodness and kindness to us. It reminds us of God's promise. After God flooded the world and destroyed the world and everything and everyone in it, with the exception of Noah and his family, God made them a promise. God says, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. For God has promised that we will always have a harvest, somewhere in the world, right up until the end of time. So it's a time of the year for giving thanks to God. We say thank you to people when they give us presents. I'm sure Helen on her birthday, when she got all her birthday presents, she didn't just say, oh, wonderful. I'm sure she said, well, thank you for that lovely present. And we should say thank you to God for what he has given to us. But I want to talk this morning about this parable that Jesus told in Matthew 13 about the wheat and the tares. Or since most of us don't understand what tares are, the wheat and the weeds. And he's trying to describe to them and trying to explain to them what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's trying to give them an understanding, and he's not giving them everything about the kingdom of heaven in just the one parable. He's trying to tell them just a little bit about the kingdom of heaven. He's saying, if you understand this little bit, you've understood something important. Now let me tell you another parable, and in this parable we'll learn something else about the kingdom of heaven. So it's not everything we're learning from this parable, it's just one little thing. And he tells them about this farmer who had sowed in his field good seed. Every farmer, at least any farmer with any sense will sow good seed. I have to be very careful here. We have a farmer's wife present. That's right, isn't it, Sybil? Sow the good seed. You're not going to go around sowing weeds. So the farmer sowed good seed in his soil. But while he slept, his enemy came along, the farmer who lived just down the road, who didn't like him, who got very angry with him because this farmer was a good man and did the right things. And this other farmer, this neighbouring farmer, this evil man, came along, and he had in his hand a handful of seed from weeds. I'm sure this farmer found it easy to find these because that's mostly what he grew. When you can walk around Western Rin and you can find that there are fields all around that are full of weeds. And amazing as it may seem, those farmers get paid for growing weeds. They get paid by the European Commission, the wonderful scheme called Set Aside. They can grow all these weeds, and it's so easy to do. So he went round and he gathered up all the seeds from these weeds, and when it was planting time, at night, when the good farmer was in bed, he took all these weed seeds and he scattered them all through the field. It took him all night, because he couldn't drive his tractor in and scatter the seeds that way, because that would have woken the good farmer up. So the bad farmer had to do it all by hand. Walk through the field, casting out all the seeds from the weeds. He thought, this'll sort this good farmer out. I hate him so much because he's good. And I'll make it feel a real mess with all these weeds. And so then the corn, the grain, the crops began to sprout up. The green shoots sprouted up through the soil. And the good farmer thought, wonderful. Isn't God good to me? Here comes my crops. After a while, and it would take a few months, the corn got to such a stage where the farmer could look out and say, just a minute, this isn't right. I can see some corn growing, but there are some weeds growing there as well. Now some of you might not be able to tell the difference between corn and weeds. Wonder how many gardeners we've got here today. Do any of the children help in the garden? Good. Now there are some children, and I hope it's not you, who help their mums and dads in the garden, and their mums and dads are breaking their backs, pulling out all the weeds. And the children come along and say, I'll help, I'll help. And they start pulling out the weeds and they say, look, mummy, look, daddy, I've just pulled out this great big weed. And they just pulled out a prize dahlia or a rose bush or something. And the child is so delighted that they've been so helpful. And the parents go, ah! What have you done? It's taken me years to grow that. So you can't always tell at first glance the difference between the good and the bad. Because some people would look at this and say, well, isn't that a lovely flower arrangement? Look at these lovely yellow flowers. I wish I had some of those in my garden. You wouldn't wish you had some of these in your field if you were a farmer, because these have come out of a farmer's field. And this is not, in fact, corn, this green stuff with all the hair. Neither is it a punk rocker. This is barley. And this is not ready for harvesting yet, in fact. It's a little bit too green. You've got to wait until it's gone white before it's ready to harvest. But if you come and look at this, you can see that you've got lots of grains in here. I'll see if I can pull one out. But all these grains, ooh, Harvey swung on us all, that one. That's a grain of barley. And that can be turned into food that you can eat. And it's delicious. This, on the other hand, is a weed. And this grows with the barley. And you don't want them growing together, because this will stifle the barley so that you don't get as much as you otherwise would. And when it comes to harvesting, I presume it's not too wonderful with a combine harvester, is it? No. So you want to get rid of the weeds, but you want to keep the wheat or the corn, or in this case the barley. Now you have to remember that when Jesus told this story, they didn't have combine harvesters, they didn't have pesticides, they didn't have weed killers, they certainly didn't have the European Community insecticide. What they had were people who had things called sickles. Who can tell me what a sickle is? Oh, it's too easy for Richard. I wonder if Paul knows what a sickle is. No, Paul doesn't know what a sickle is. Aaron. That's it. It's like a curved knife, a very long-bladed knife that you then curve round with a handle on. And what they did, they went into the fields and they took an armful, sometimes a handful, depending on how confident they were, took an armful of the corn, the grain, whatever it was, and they went swish with the blade and they cut it off, and then they had all the stalks with the ears of corn, the ears of grain on the top, and they then stacked them all together, ready for then extracting the grain from it later on. And that's how they did the harvesting. And so what happens here is that when they see the weeds are coming up with the grain, the servants say to the master, we'll go out and we'll pull up all the weeds. But because of the problems, because of the difficulties of what happens when children pull up weeds, even if you're an expert, you can make the mistake, and you can find sometimes the weed is growing right next to a nice big bunch of corn, of grain, and if you pull the weed out, you pull all the corn, all the grain out as well. You don't want to do that. So Jesus says, no, this has been done by my enemy. This has been done by that evil farmer next door. We'll leave things as they are. And then when it comes to harvest time, and when we go through cutting the grain, that's when we'll separate them out. We'll cut the whole field, and then we'll go through and we'll make two piles. We'll make a pile of the good grain, the good corn, in this case the good barley, and in the other pile we will pile up all the weeds. And you can usually tell when a gardener has been doing this, because when the gardener has got all the good things, all his crops, and he's got his pile of weeds, then something happens which everybody notices. Who can tell me what that is? He has something. He builds something. I built one at camp. It was a big one. We sat in front of it for a few hours on the last night. Yes. You burn them. So you build a fire, you build a bonfire. And how does everybody know that you've got a bonfire? Richard, the smoke, you can smell it, can't you? Smell it miles away. Sometimes you can see it. You know that's what they're doing. So you separate the wheat from the weeds, and the weeds aren't any good. You don't want the weeds, so you throw them away. You burn them in the fire. But you hang on to the wheat, because that's the good stuff that you want. Now Jesus tells us, through this parable, he then gives us its interpretation. Later on in the chapter, it says that Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. We don't understand what you're talking about. Please tell us what it means. Right, he says. This is what it means. He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. He says, I am the one who sows the seed. I'm the one that scatters it. I'm the one that's seeking for growth. I'm the one that's seeking to do people good. Because the seed he's scattering, he says, are the sons of the kingdom. Those people who are going to go and be with him forever, in eternity, in heaven. And these people come about because they hear what Jesus has to say, they listen to it, they believe it, and they accept it. These are the sons of the kingdom. But, he says, the field where they're sown is the world. All around us, everything that we can see, the world, that's where Jesus scatters his seed. But the weeds are the sons of the wicked one, the sons of the devil. And the enemy who sows them suppose the wicked seed is the devil. And the devil has many, many servants in the world, people that follow him, people that do his will, even people that think they hate the devil, do exactly what the devil wants. The harvest is not the end of the growing season, at the end of one year, it's the end of the age. It's the day of judgment, the day on which Jesus comes back and will have all of us, you and me, everybody else in the world, everybody that's ever lived, Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great, Henry the Eighth, Elizabeth the First, the Queen, everybody will all be standing there before the Lord Jesus Christ, the day when he will judge us. The reapers are the angels who will go through the world and they will gather out all the bad things, all the bad people, all the things that cause offence, all those people who don't obey God. They'll gather all them together in one place. Then they'll gather all the rest, all the good, all those who are the sons of the kingdom who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all the bad, all the weeds, will be cast, he says, into the furnace of fire forever. And all the rest, he says, the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So here, he says, is something wonderful to look forward to. But if you are one of the righteous, if you are one of those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are one of those who has heard what Jesus has to say and has obeyed him, then you have this wonderful thing to look forward to. The end of the age, and then an eternity shining forth like the sun in heaven forever, enjoying God's presence, enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ, and enjoying the other people who were there. So it's something wonderful to look forward to if you are one of the sons of the kingdom. If you are not one of the sons of the kingdom, you don't have a lot to look forward to. So let's think about what this means for us. Some people say, look at all the trouble in the world. Look at all the problems that there are. Look at the war going on at the moment in Yugoslavia, or what was Yugoslavia. Look at the war going on at the moment in Sudan. And there are many, many other wars around the world that we don't tend to hear about. Because the journalists, the people that make the news programs, and the journalists that write in the newspapers, they don't find that the hotels there are particularly comfortable. So they don't report those wars, they report the ones where they're nice and comfortable, and they get a nice bed, and the food's good. A bit cynical, but often that's the case. Why doesn't God stop these things? Why doesn't God stop all war? You might be having a hard time at school. There might be some very unpleasant people in your school. And you might say, why doesn't God stop all the bullying? Why doesn't God get rid of that nasty person who keeps jumping up and down on me? Who keeps being nasty to me? Who keeps prodding me in the back and doing all manner of other things? Other people will say, well, why doesn't God stop murder? There have been some horrible murders recently. Why doesn't God stop murder? Why doesn't God stop these people that do these dreadful things? Why doesn't God stop theft? Why doesn't God stop these things? If he's so powerful, why doesn't he stop them? And the answer Jesus gives us in this parable. When the servants say, sir, do you want us to go and gather them up, the weeds? He says, no. Lest while you gather up the weeds, you also uproot the wheat with them. See, if God was to do away with all the evil in the world, he'd do away with us. Because, as far as God is concerned, the problem in the world is not one or two people. The problems in the world are you and me, and all the people that live in Western Rin, and all the people that live in Shropshire, and all the people that live in England, all the people that live in Europe, all the people that live throughout the whole world. They are the problem, because within all of us, there is this tendency to do that which is wrong. And so all of us, by nature, without doing anything, we're weak. Of course, they're all tied together, so I can't pull one out. But this is what we are. We're all weeds. We don't need to do anything to become weeds. We are weeds. I don't mean that we're, oh dear, well, I'm sorry, but I can't help you because I'm all weak and feeble and weedy. I don't mean that. I mean the sort of weed that Jesus is talking about. Weeds that are useless. Weeds that are no good. Weeds that merely get in the way. I'm like that. You're like that. As we come into the world, by nature. That's the problem in the world. The problem is to be found within us, within our hearts. And the problem for us is not just that we're weeds, but we are not wheat, or barley in this case. We are not what God wants. So therefore, how will it be with us come the end of the age? If we're all weeds, what's God going to do with us? Well, Jesus tells us he's going to gather us all up and he's going to throw us into the fire. Not very nice, is it? But how do we stop being weeds? How do we become barley? Because that's the whole reason why Jesus came into the world. Jesus came into the world to turn weeds into wheat. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to prevent you from being thrown into the fire. The Lord Jesus Christ loved you so much that he came into this world to do that. He didn't have to do it. He didn't need to do it. It wasn't necessary for him to do it. He could have stayed in heaven. And he could have said, you're all a bunch of weeds. I look forward to the time when I can throw you all into the fire. We don't deserve anything. None of us. But he still came. Not only did he come, but he told us the truth. Not many people say this. You listen to the television. This is the radio, you read the newspapers, and what you find is that they say that we're all lovely people. It's just only one or two that are obnoxious and nasty and horrible. Jesus said it's all of us. In differing degrees, some are worse than others, but we're all bad. So he came and told us the truth. He came and warned us about this. He said there is a fire to come into which we'll be cast, as we. But he also told us something else. And he also did something else. The thing that he did was to die on the cross. Now he was a man who was perfect. A man who never did anything wrong. But he died. And death is the punishment for sin. You could say that a good man was thrown on the fire. And the reason he did that, he allowed it to happen to him, because he loves you. As he hung on that cross, he was thinking of you. As he hung on that cross, he was being punished for every wrong thing you've ever done. Every wrong thing you've ever thought. Every wrong thing you've ever said. Every wrong thing you've ever done. Jesus was punished for all of those. And we know that what he did was accepted by God because he rose from the dead. If it wasn't accepted by God, he'd still be in the grave. But he's now alive. And what Jesus tells us now is this. If you recognize that you're a weed and you're heading for the fire and you want to escape the fire, you want to become some barley or some wheat, then you must trust in him. You must believe in him. You must surrender your life to him. What he's saying is that as a weed, you're at war with God. And it's a war you won't win. But if you now come and surrender, and lay down your arms, and obey God in everything, absolutely everything, then God will change you from being a weed into being wheat. He will take away your heart, your wicked heart that loves to do what is wrong, and he'll give you a new heart that loves God and longs to do what is right. And that's what God offers, that's what Jesus says he will do for everyone who hears this message and obeys this message. If you will turn from your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will change you. And he will forgive you. And you will know that you have been forgiven. And you will look forward to heaven with confidence and certainty. Because you will know forgiveness in your souls. Forgiveness that God will have given to you. God calls you now to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not tomorrow, not next week, now, this morning, before it's too late. Some of you have heard this before, and you haven't acted upon it. You are a day nearer being one of those weeds that's cast into the fire. God is not willing that any should perish in that fire. He wants everybody to believe and to become wheat. I call upon you this morning to listen to God, to do as he has commanded. And having heard God and obeyed his command in turning from sin and believing in Jesus Christ, having received God's mercy and forgiveness, you will then want to obey God in all things. You will want to meet with God's people. You will want to learn what God has said. You will want to do what God has told you to do. We ask you to listen carefully, to think seriously about this, and to act upon it.